Just going to share a little bit of my diminished love, doubted promises, and disconnected hopes. Kind of the way my life started out as a child, growing up in a home with a very controlling father. I grew up, I was the youngest of four girls. And as a child, not to sound mean or anything, but I was very well loved as a kid. I was a very cute baby and all that good stuff, and I was the baby. That was all fine and dandy, but I had a sister who didn't like that very much at all. She was very mean to me. And growing up, I never felt like I could compare myself to my other sisters. My family is Russian and German, and food is a very big part of that family. And needless to say, I enjoyed it very much and gained a lot of weight, and I became the cute little round child. And all of a sudden that changed when I was about 14, maybe 12. I was not my, I was a favorite of my dad's, but I wasn't quite what he wanted me to be. I was never good enough for him. So that whole diminished love, promises, and hope really went out the window when my father called my one sister a deer, you know, like a D-E-E-R, and I was the elephant. Set me up for failure for pretty much the rest of my life. You know, now I look back and I can think of it, it was a very horrible scheme of Satan to take me down, because that's how I grew up believing about myself. I believed the lies from the pit of hell that I was not good enough. I was not a good child. I was not this. Even though I tried to be good, it was never good enough. And that went on into, you know, as an adult and everything. And then I tried to figure out what happened to my second marriage and why that all happened. But I kept trying to prove myself. And I still was never good enough, because I was looking to the wrong person for that approval. We're supposed to seek God for his approval, but I was constantly seeking it from somebody else. I could never be approved by my sisters because I didn't look like them. There was sister, 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 and Irene. And when you're introduced as baby Huey from when you're a little kid, it doesn't do very much for your self-esteem. So I never really had one. So growing up, I tried to be other things that everybody else wanted to. That wanted me to be. With the drinking crowd, I would drink. I didn't do drugs, but I would hang out with them. With the party crowd, I would hang out with them. Or with the Christian crowd, I would hang out with them. With the dancing crowd, I would hang out with them. I just do whatever. So I wanted to fit in, because I wanted people to like me. Because no matter how I tried to please my dad, because it all comes back down to that, it was never good enough. One case in point, my dad was an artist, and I tried to draw to try to make him happy. And I remember, I'll never forget, I was 12 years old, and he was sitting at the head of the dining room table. And so I had drawn this picture. He loved sailboats and stuff. And so I had drawn this picture of a sailboat and the water and all this stuff. And it was okay. I'm 12 years old, you know. And I remember I was so proud, and I walked up to the head of the table. And I said, "Look, Papa, I made this for you." And I walked up, and I showed him this piece of paper. And he goes, "Oh, that's nice, but," takes out his pencil, and he starts fixing my picture. And he started drawing all over my picture to make it better. I got to tell you, that stuck with me. It still hurts, you know, but thank God for Jesus that he's, you know, taken care of those hurts. But those lies from the enemy, I believe them over and over and over. So when my second marriage, when it was going spiraling out of control, I still kept trying to fix it, because I still kept trying to be what Mark wanted me to be, not what God wanted me to be, but trying to please him. And that's a lie, because I believed that I wasn't good enough. But what does God say? God's truth in Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Not my dad, not my sisters, not my father, not my friends, not anybody. God promised, and he is faithful. And I would reach out for that But then I'd come back because something would always inevitably happen to hurt me. And I would come crawling, you know, crumbling back down around again. But I was trying to rewrite the chapters of my life. But what I was doing was I kept reading the same chapters over and over and over again, like chapter 7, 8, 9. Well, how come chapter 10 isn't changing? Because I'm still in 7, 8, 9. I need to get past 7, 8, 9 and let God write chapter 10 or whatever your chapter is. But that's only by God's truth. So to override the enemy and the enemy's lies, one, I have to hold on to God's hope. It's the only hope that I have. I don't have to feel the hope. I don't have to fulfill the hope. And I don't even have to understand the hope. The hope is there. Like we talked about last week and we celebrated Easter, that hope is on the empty cross. And it's in the empty tomb. And that's what I have to hang on to. Not hope in a man, not hope in a parent, not hope in a girlfriend, boyfriend, child, not even my children. I mean, come on. People are going to break your heart. So I picture myself, and this is what I love about this picture. That's my hope. That lifeline is out there. He throws that out for us. But there's that little rope, and he wants us to hang on to it. That's the hope that I hang on to. Number two, I profess God's promise over my problems out loud. People laugh at me sometimes because I will talk to myself out loud because it's the only way I can tell that enemy, get the you-know-what out of here, because I refuse to believe those lies anymore. And he keeps trying all the time, but I have to profess out loud. And what do you profess? Profess God's word. The word of God is right there in those Bibles that are in your pew, and he tells you the truth. You know, it may still hurt. All those pains, they might still hurt because we're human, but it's not going to cripple me. It tried to cripple me this week. We were talking about that earlier. You know, we trip, we fall, you know, and yeah, it hurts, but it's not going to cripple me. I will not go down because with God's help, I'm hanging on to that hope. And that is what takes me to the rest for the rest of my life. He will hold me up. He's going to sustain me. The third thing that I want to believe is that God will carry the weight, making sure that his promises are carried out. Again, he made that promise and he kept it when he resurrected, when he rose from the grave. He kept that promise. His promises are true. He's the faithful one. He's the sure one. Again, not a human, but God is sure. People will let you down, but God will not let you down if you believe in him. It doesn't depend on me. Thank God it doesn't depend on me and my performance because I'll screw it up every single time. I think I'm doing really good, and then bam, something else makes me go down. A memory or a song or a movie or a picture or something, and it just takes me, or words that people say. But it doesn't depend on me. I don't have to be perfect in order for his promises to be fulfilled. And thank God. Hallelujah for that. I just have to hold on to him and his love. We don't do it perfectly. This is not about perfection. It's about progression. We do it step by step. That's why doing those 12 steps, step by step by step. You do it consistently, not perfectly, but consistently. You fall down, you get right back up again. Somebody hurts you, you don't go to the phone, you go to the throne and you talk to God, and he will take you and he will fulfill you and he will keep his promises to you. And the best thing, and I know this sounds kind of funny, but when I heard this statement from a speaker that I was listening to, I thought, wow, that's kind of profound. We all want our circumstance. God, change this. Change my life. Change my this. Change my, you know, my work. Change my house. Change my spouse. Change whatever. He's not changing my circumstances, but he's changing me. And it's my heart that he's changing. And that's the most important thing, because that's all he wants of it. That's all he asks of us, to look to him, hold on to that hope, and let him change you from the inside out, one step at a time. So now, speaking of sanity, Jen is going to come and talk to us about insanity or sanity, whichever, how you want to look at it.